Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent on a London edition. Welcome to the show, our legal expert, Natalia Matusik. Hi, Natalia.
Hello, Ilona. Thank you for having me again.
You are advising us for almost, I think, 3 years right now. So I'm very, very happy to have you back. So maybe I will remind our listeners and whoever is watching our show on Facebook and social media that Natalia is a former Deputy Attorney General at Department of Justice, Attorney at Law, serving all Southern and Northern California. Natalia is a licensing advocate. Attorney defending professionals. Did I do
correct?
Good? Yeah. Wonderful. So I think we are talking business right now. We are talking legal problem, legal issues, and we are saying that Natalia Matusik is a person to call, to contact, because for sure she will help if somebody has a problem, legal problem. So maybe let's start from the first question. What kind of cases do you specialize in?
Well, I can handle a number of different type of cases. However, my main focus right now is professional license defense, which is actually very closely related to criminal law. And as you know, I have many years of experience prosecuting and defending people in the area of criminal law.
Okay, that's scary and very complicated, but let's move to another question. What is a professional license defense area of the law?
Thank you. Okay, so this is an area of the law that very few people know about, but as you know, there are so many people in the state of California, really anywhere, who possess some sort of a professional license. And by a professional license, I don't mean a driver's license or a liquor license if you're a business, or a business license. There are different types of licenses, or a securities license if you run a financial advisement firm. I'm specifically referring to a professional license that you hold as an individual. So the best example is a nurse, a teacher, an attorney like myself. I have actually represented a couple of attorneys when they had issues with the state bar, a contractor or a psychiatrist. I mean, basically, there are roughly around 32 boards and bureaus within the Department of Consumer Affairs in the state of California, which issue your license, and then they discipline you if you don't follow certain rules, regulations, or if you are arrested and or convicted for a crime, which is very often the basis for the board taking action against your license. And again, there is another area of professional license defense when you apply for a license and your license is your petition for a license is denied, you do have a right to appeal. So I can represent people in those situations as well.
Seems like a lot of people can use your advice, because you said 32 areas. That's a lot. That's really practice. Yes, that's a lot of people. So again, let's start from your website and maybe telephone number, email. What is the best way to contact you?
Thank you, Ilona. I have two websites. They really go to the same portal, so it doesn't matter. I have yourlicensinglawyer.com and then licenseadvocate.com. They both take you to the same website. So license, license, L-I-S-E-N-S-E, advocate, advocate.com. That's my website. And my email address is natalia@licenseadvocate.com. And my phone number is 858-868-8000. 1810, and people are more than welcome to call me for a free consultation. However, I always advise everyone that the best way to make an initial contact with me is to just send me a quick text message with their name and their just basic question. This way I can, you know, have an idea what I'm doing.
That's really simple and fast. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I think other people will appreciate that because it's not long back and forth. The
tech really
can get you return the message right away or a little bit know what is the problem. Okay, so what is your background and experience that makes you qualified to handle professional license defense cases? And how are you different from other attorneys to handle such cases?
Thank you. So I don't know too many people who have been both a former prosecutor and a former deputy attorney general in the licensing section. There are some, but very few. So on one hand, I have an extensive experience in criminal law, and I also have an experience specifically prosecuting people's licenses when I was working for the Department of Justice, specifically in the licensing section. At which time I represented the various boards and bureaus within the Department of Consumer Affairs. It's interesting how it's structured because those boards and bureaus don't have in-house counsels. They refer every case, every licensee or any disciplinary action against a licensee to the Department of Justice, specifically the section where I worked in, to then be handled, you know, for prosecution of this person's license. And very often, I would say roughly 50% of the cases that I handled when I was with the Department of Justice stem from a person being arrested or convicted of a crime. So that's why I think makes me unique in the sense that if, let's say, yeah, if a nurse gets arrested for a DUI or is convicted, ideally people should contact me when they get arrested, not when they've already been convicted. I think I mentioned it on another show that a criminal defense attorney does not have any obligation to inform a criminal defendant as to what kind of consequences this conviction may have on their license down the road. But if I have a client who comes in and tells me, hey, I got arrested for DUI. Oh, by the way, I'm a nurse. Then I already see it from two different angles.
Wow. Yeah, that's really, really important for everybody to know. So before you get convicted, you better people contact you who are in trouble, you know, because you can see from both sides of the law, you know, and you obviously will take care of help them probably to save their jobs in the long run. That's really interesting. Okay, so how is professional license defense related to criminal law, which you a little bit told me?
It's related in a large number of cases exactly for the reasons I just stated, that a criminal conviction carries, actually, no, let's start. I just had a conversation with somebody about this yesterday. And a very good criminal defense attorney here in the area where I live, who has a client who has an administrative discipline, you know, filed against him. But so the very first time that the attorney general's office would even step in is if the licensee is arrested, not even convicted, for a very serious offense that's closely related to this person's professional duties. So, for instance, I handled a case for this lady who is charged with murder. And in a case like this, when, you know, obviously the charges are very serious, the Attorney General's office files what's called a PC-23 motion, which means although the board or the bureau has not taken any action per se, they want the criminal judge to take action and restrict this person's license while the criminal proceedings are pending. So that's a pretty serious, but this has to be, and I had a couple of other cases, doctors, chiropractors, where the board basically took, you know, basically they wanted this person's license to be restricted, although they have not filed any disciplinary action whatsoever. So that's the earliest stage when the Attorney General's office or the board on, you know, or the AG's office on behalf of the board steps in. Then you've got cases where a client or licensee gets a letter from the board stating that we are in possession of information that you have been arrested for a certain offense, and please answer these questionnaire, etc. And if you're a professional licensee, one of your duties is to cooperate with any investigation. But this is exactly when you need an attorney, because anything that you say directly to the board or the bureau can be then used against you. So it's best that you have an attorney handle this portion of the, you know, the investigative process. Then, of course, once they file an accusation, which is pretty serious, then you can either work out some sort of settlement agreement, or in many cases, the case actually goes to a hearing, which is a whole different process than a jury trial, for instance.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. So all of people who have issues and problems.
Yeah, you know, I just always,
yes,
I always thought that, well, making a living, especially now during these times, you know, making a living, your livelihood, very often is more important than, let's say, being on a summary probation for a misdemeanor crime. People get on summary probations, they comply with the probation, they pay the fees and fines, get it expunged from their record later down the road, and it really doesn't have that huge of an impact on their life. But if you lose your license and you can't perform your work, that to me is more important than some impact that a criminal conviction may have.
So yes, again, I'm saying if you are in trouble, you better don't wait. You really, really need to understand that somebody like Natalia Matushi can help. She's a really amazing lawyer, and you are working how many years already as a lawyer?
15.
15 years, okay. So I don't know how many cases did you lose, but knowing you, probably tiny.
I've lost some because I can't, the facts are what they are. I've lost, when I prosecuted criminal offenses, I only had 2 not guilty verdicts out of 29 trials. But on the defense side, I got amazing deals for clients, dismissals, reduced charges, amazing. And I've conducted several administrative hearings on the respondents, licensees, and I did lose one, which couldn't really do much about it. I did everything I possibly could have, but yes.
So I hope people are listening and watching us, you know, just your words speak the truth. And I know how great you are. I was always using your advice. And when I need any legal advice, I'm very, very thankful to know you and calling you my friend, and especially that Actanon on LA Talk Radio right now has our legal expert, and Natalia Matushik is coming on our show from time to time. And like always, I love this to be regular, or maybe every few months we need to do that. We really need to remind people that person like you exists. And so right now, let's give people one more time your email and your phone number, because you mentioned that texting is okay with you and you will return text very fast. So one more time, your website, your email and phone number.
So website is License Advocate. Some people have trouble spelling it. It's License. If you possess a professional license, you probably know how to spell License. LICENSE Advocate, ADVOCATE.com. Natalia, NATALIA, at License Advocate is my email. and my phone number, people are more than welcome to call. Again, I think texting can get you a faster response is 858-868-1810.
Wonderful. I know we have a COVID time. It's a very tough time for everybody. It's getting better and better. You know, I'm in London and things are really bad here still, but we are hoping with vaccination that world will open up. I know the same in America, in Los Angeles. You can help people from Los Angeles and from what are you now? Southern California and another?
All of California, those licensing cases are essentially handled in four locations, Los Angeles, San Diego, and then Oakland and Sacramento. So really, if you are a professional, different counties fall under the jurisdiction of different, you know, it's called the Office of Administrative Hearings. But yeah, if I have a client from Northern California, I can work remotely. Actually, right now, all the hearings are conducted remotely anyway. But once things get back to normal, which I assume they will, hopefully sooner than later,
sure.
You know, I don't have a problem flying to Sacramento for a hearing.
Wonderful. So we understand that texting is okay, yes, for you. And again, if somebody has problem remembering, please go to and Google your name. You are there everywhere. So I'm very proud again to know you, and I'm hoping this segment was very, very helpful. So again, Natalia Matushik is our legal expert, and she's a former Deputy Attorney General at Department of Justice, Attorney at Law, serving all Southern and Northern California. You are a licensing advocate, attorney, defending professionals.
That's correct.
So thank you very much for today, and hopefully we'll hear from you maybe 2-3 months from now. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ilona, for having me. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent On LA Talk Radio, Accent On London edition. So today, again, a very special day. I have somebody that I don't know well, but I think after this show, not only I will be knowing you very, very well, but hopefully the whole world will learn a lot about you. So I think first and foremost, everybody sees that you are young and you are my guest. I got introduction to you from Joseph Mikołaj Ray Jr., and he was a guest on my show before. He's my friend, and he's known as one of the biggest patriots of Poland in America. So this is the link to you. We will be talking today about a very special event then in Buffalo. You and, of course, Joseph Mikołaj Ray Jr. is putting together and is on February 11th. So this is a very, very cool story. I hope Polish people and whole world will really enjoy the topic because it's very tasty. And so, hi. So maybe first and foremost, of course, I need to tell everybody your name. So your name is Zoe Kamiński. Zoe Kamiński, we can already feel that there's some Polish sound to your name. So my first question is, hi, Zoe. You were born in America, but seems like you have Polish roots. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name's Zoe. I was born and raised in Buffalo and then decided to stay in Buffalo for college as well. So I study at Canisius College. It is a Jesuit Catholic institution in Buffalo, where I study political science, English, and urban studies, which is actually a very cool link to the Polish community and Polish culture. With the urban studies major, I really get to be out in the community, meeting people, talking to people, hearing their stories. And it's really put me in a great position to learn not only about them, but in turn more about myself. Joe Ray was really the guy who kind of pulled me into the Polish community. When we talk about him being the spark plug of Polonia, he really is creating an awesome path for the future. And he's kind of the reason that I'm really as involved as I am today.
Yeah, it's so nice to see young faces that are just doing so well, bringing Polish community together. Normally, you know, we are used to see people around 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and 100 years old who really love Poland and always feel like Poland is their country and they feel deeply roots and connection with Poland. But obviously you are young, and I would like to also mention that because it's very impressive, you are triple major, yes?
Yes.
So you tell us a little bit about yourself, yes? What does this mean, triple major?
So I study political science, English, and urban studies. I actually started out as a biochem major in college, thinking that I wanted to be a doctor. And then I went into a hospital setting and realized that blood and I don't get along. So then I had to make a quick pivot and realize that I really enjoy politics and learning about how not only United States politics works, but as well as like European politics, how different regimes, different structures work, which then actually led me to urban studies because it hits a little bit closer to home. You can kind of learn how and why the government works the way it does, especially in like smaller cities, towns, things like that. And then English, I really love words. I really love words. Like, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. Reading, writing, and all of these majors have worked really well together. I actually hope to eventually become a vice president of student affairs at a larger college or university, preferably staying within the Jesuit network. But it's a lot, but I really, really enjoy what I'm doing right now. And I'm coming out with useful skills that aren't just like that typical, I went to college and got a degree.
It's very impressive. I hope people agree with me. You're very young. You are very impressive. You already are dreaming about your future. And it seems like you have your path, you know, that you know how to get there. So we'll be keeping our fingers crossed. Somehow I believe that all your dreams will come true. But in the meantime, I'm hoping also that your connection with Polish community in Buffalo and in America, in Poland, it will be only growing and will be stronger. So the next question will be your connection with Poland. Are you second generation? Your parents are from Poland or grandparents? Why you call yourself Polish? Or parents? Grandparents?
I am Polish from both my mother and father's side. I am fourth or fifth generation, depending on who you ask. So I'm pretty far removed from Poland, but I don't think that takes away that my roots are there. With a last name like Kaminski, it's very much there.
And you know what I think that comes with Polish blood and soul? So if somebody is very deeply romantic and has this beautiful soul and dark and moody and romantic and loves classical music and is like bigger than life, you probably right away think, this is like not so American. Sorry, I'm saying this must be coming from like Eastern Europe. So obvious answer will be Poland, Polish. You know, you are Polish for sure. Doesn't matter how many generations. You know, my daughter is also born in America, but, you know, she feels very European. And she just made me move from America to Europe. And that's when she wants to leave. And she's working and she's very happy here. So we have now two beautiful countries that we love, America and Poland and Europe, because, you know, obviously Europe is gorgeous too. So what about travels? Did you have the chance to visit Poland already?
I have not had the opportunity yet. Unfortunately, I was supposed to spend 6 weeks in Poland over the summer, but due to the pandemic, that trip was canceled. I was so super excited. It was a service learning type project that I was going to partake in, where I was in an orphanage with kids for 6 weeks. I hope to see that rescheduled when it's safe to travel again, though.
I'm sure things are going better when it comes to COVID in London. We are hoping that, you know, before the summer, almost everybody will be already getting the vaccination. I'm sure in America, things are going much, much better too. So I think travel will be soon possible, and you have this noble, you know, hope for working with underprivileged children in our country, and how this cannot be happening. This needs to be happening very, very soon. And I know you fall in love with Poland, and every vacation, that's where you'll be spending probably, and being, of course, and working with Mikołaj, with Joseph Mikołaj Ray, he will probably take you to Poland for one of his events, because, yeah, even when he's an American and his roots are far, far, far also away, you know, to being called himself Polish also, but he so belongs to Poland in heart for sure. And we need him in Buffalo. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about Buffalo. This is West New York. Yes, this is part of the, one of the biggest amount of Polish people, Polish American people living there. I just went and Google, and seems like it's like 190,000 Polish American people are living here. So it's a really big community. Do you feel like going on the street that you feel that?
Yes, absolutely. So we have the most Polish people per capita outside of Poland, which is really, really cool. We have a really lively and great Polonia district. Unfortunately, our Polish community is a little bit older, so we are trying to get younger people involved. Yeah. So like people my age, little younger, a little bit older, but you do see signs of people being proud of their Polish heritage everywhere, from flags to car decals to showing up to events, looking into their Polish ancestry. There's just so much evidence of Polish pride. It's really amazing.
So now we are talking about the General Pulaski Association, which obviously Joseph Mikołaj Ray, he is his president, yes? So this is a very, how you say, active association, and lots of things are happening, because having 200,000 people wanting to feel Polish and feel like a community, somebody really needs to work them and bring them together. 200,000 people, that's a very, very hard job. So I know that association is doing a lot of great events. This year they were postponed because of COVID. But before, you got involved, yes, like 10 years ago, I understand you got involved with the General Pulaski Association. So can you tell me how this all started?
So my story starts, my grandparents actually were on the board of the General Pulaski Association for a very long time. Every year our board runs a princess and countess competition where two girls are picked to essentially lead the parade each year. So my first lesson in resilience starts at a very young age, where I applied to be the princess and I did not receive it the first time, but we go on and we're resilient, and I did apply to be the countess a year or two later, and I did end up being the countess. So that's when my involvement really started. So as countess, you kind of get to go to all the different events, meet with all the different people, and lead the parade, which is the most exciting part of your reign as countess. And now I've kind of made
it. You are talking about parade, which is annual event, yes?
Yeah, it's the annual.
Talk about this a little bit. So, okay, now you are the countess. So how old you were there?
I was probably 12, So still pretty young.
Yes.
But now I've made a full circle moment where I'm now running the princess and countess competition. So that's also very, very
fun. What responsibilities the countess and princess have? Could you tell me a little bit? Yes, you mentioned that you need to be present on lots of events. Yes, Polish events. But is this something special? Obvious, 10 years being part of the General Pulaski Association brought you there closer to people, a lot of people, and you probably feel there like in home. Not saying that probably events have a lot of great cooking and great cakes and great dances and music. So all of that is like memories you created, and your family created memories for you. And I'm sure when you enter a group of people, you already know so many of them and they know you. You grew up there. 10 years. That's a long, long time. They say take a village to raise a great child. Obviously, they raised you very, very well. Not only beautiful, very smart a lady, but you feel so deeply, you know, in touch with your roots. That's so beautiful. So what the responsibilities you had? You said that now you are organizing this event for Princess and the Countess, but you didn't jump from being one to, now I'm organizing. You were helping with lots of different, work that was required. Could you tell us a little bit about that? How many hours a day, a month, all of this take, took you?
This, I probably think about the Pulaski Association almost every hour that I'm awake. it's one of those things that because I'm super passionate about it, it doesn't feel like work. So when I have the opportunity to go out into the community and work with community members on different initiatives to spread Polish culture and educate people, it really does ignite that fire within me. So going from Countess, where I was volunteering at different events for the Pulaski Association, to now where I actually get to plan and help plan galas and award ceremonies and do ad books and just have my face out in the community. It was a really big honor. And I recognize the privilege that I have by having such a big voice in the Polish community now, where people do come to me, they come to Joseph, they come to different people on our board and are like, hey, what's going on in Buffalo? What can we do to spread Polish pride?
That's beautiful. We are mentioning the name of Joseph Mikołaj Ray Jr. You know, he's amazing, a human being. You know, I never met him personally. Like I say, we are on the phone, we are on a messenger, on a Facebook. He was my guest. Hopefully he will be my guest. He always sends me a lot of amazing people that I can introduce to my radio show and to the world. And I'm so proud of knowing them. I would never meet these people if not for Joseph. So Why do you think he's so passionate? What makes him to be so persistent and so hardworking? He practically made make himself available for Polish community 24 hours a day. Because when he works like crazy. And he still has time to answer, you know, messages, because when I write, I don't know how busy he is, but then he tells me what he's doing in a moment when he's texting me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a really bad time for me to talk to him. And I never feel this way. He continues, he answers the questions, and he even gives more than I even ask for, even when he is so busy. So we'll be talking about this event, because this event is coming on 11th February and he is busy with you. Very, very much organizing this great, great, very nice event. But what is about him and why you think people just surrounding him and they are not leaving the Buffalo community, Polish community, and the pride of being Polish persons only grows and grows. And even when I was talking to Joseph, I'm like, you know, you maybe belong to Poland. What about like moving, you know, to Poland, living there? And he said, no, Buffalo community needs me. You know, this is like so cool, so beautiful. But yeah, what is about him that makes him so great Polish-American?
He has passion. He has grit. He is never going to say no. He's going to do everything in his power to make things happen and make them successful. And not only make himself successful, but push people to be the best humans that they can be. It's really crazy thinking about all the things that he's done for the community, and he's inclusive. We can talk all day long about how the Polish community is aging, and there are different organizations that don't necessarily want younger people. Joe wants to see the Polish community thrive and survive. When I talk about going to a Jesuit school, St. Ignatius of Loyola has always said, go forth and set the world on fire. Joe is not only setting the world on fire, he's also cleaning up the path as he goes. He's paving the way for people to ensure that there is a Polish community in the future.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. I just cannot wait to meet him. And like I say, I know that he's involved in Poland in many different towns also, which are the friendly towns with Buffalo Town. I cannot wait. I just cannot wait to meet him in person. I heard so much good things about him. So say hi from me and from Accent On again to Joseph Nikolai Ray, who is the president of the General Pulaski Association. Now, you are here, and I'm here to promote and make people aware about event that is happening on February 11th in, of course, in Buffalo, West New York, yes. But also we want to introduce maybe whole world to donuts, which everybody said, donuts, we know what donuts are. But you and I will say, no, you don't know what donuts are because you didn't try the Polish one.
Yes.
So first and foremost, we are talking about Polish donuts. So let's describe people why Polish donuts are so special. And like I say, you need to try them once in your lifetime. Then you will never go and eat any donuts in a store here in America, London, whatever. So you, I'm sure, love Polish donuts. And I know that Buffalo has probably lots of places that they make them from the scratch. And especially we have this day that is 14th February. That this is on the 11th. When people are eating donuts, Polish donuts, that we call them pączki. Pączki. Everybody repeats. Pączki. That's the name for Polish donuts. So there are a lot of other places that are baking them here. So can you tell us a little bit about pączki, the Polish donuts? And then we'll describe why February 11th is devoted to celebration of this great, great, great donuts, Polish donuts, and meaning behind the holiday that Polish people celebrate. That is called Lent?
Lent, yes.
Okay, so first, donuts. I'm sure you had a lot of them in your lifetime.
I have had more donuts, specifically Polish donuts, in my life than I'm actually willing to admit. But you have not lived until you have had a donut from an authentic Polish bakery. These are the recipes that have been passed down from generation to generation that originated from Poland. Like, these are the authentic recipes. They are filled with some sort of filling, whether it be a raspberry filling, a plum filling, a lemon filling, and topped with a sugar or a glaze, that I truly cannot compare the taste to anything else. It's like a little piece of heaven in your mouth.
Wonderful. And they're made from yeast, so very healthy, the type of the donuts. So it's healthier than, I think, that all what we can buy it here or in America or even in UK. They're very, like you say, very special because everything inside that they put in just makes the donuts, the pączki, taste a little different. And you can eat not one, not two, not three, not four. You can eat all day pączki and you don't feel sick because, like I say, they're almost like healthy donuts. I really believe they're healthy. I just love them so much. And we grew up in Poland. Everybody knows them and I cannot even believe this. Everybody here in the world cannot get them easily. But now we have this February 11th, and we want the pączki to belong, have a name or title, like the best pączki in Buffalo, yes? So tell me about this event, February 11th. I'm just cannot wait to go and buy because we have Polish stores here too, so I know I'll be eating a lot. Tell me about this event.
This is probably one of the most exciting events that we will have hosted. So February 11th is Fat Thursday. So it's right before the Lenten season starts. So you got to eat all your sweets really quickly, right? Before we go into the Lent season and giving things up. We've contacted almost every bakery in the Buffalo area, that makes these Polish donuts.
How many of them? Do you know how many places really create from the scratch donuts for this day?
I have contacted somewhere between 15 and 25 different bakeries.
That's amazing.
Quite a few, and that's just the Buffalo area. We could have really went out and expanded to the whole Western New York area, which is very large. But I'm calling these bakeries, kind of telling our story. Like, we want to name the best donut in Western New York. Send us your favorite, whatever filling you want to do, whatever topping you want to do, your best donut. We want to find the best punchki in Buffalo, in Western New York.
But the problem is we have COVID. So I can imagine that if we would not have this bad virus, people will be on the streets, people will be walking, will be tasting. You will organize different this event. But right now is a virtual event. So I know that people will be going to stores and they will be purchasing them probably in advance in our place in London. I see that you can ask for 4 days, 3 days in advance, and people are signing their names, what type of punchki they want. So this is really, really cool stuff, you know. Twisted Chvartek, we are talking Fat Thursday, you know, everybody's eating them like crazy. So, but right now, virtual event, you have a jurors who will be tasting them. So can you tell me from organization side, how did you organize this event? How this event will happen? Who will be tasting them? And who will decide which ponchek is the best in Buffalo? Really, right now we are talking Buffalo. So how this will go about?
We actually are very lucky. In New York State, we're at a point where we can start to have in-person events again at a very, very limited and scaled down capacity. So we're actually doing like waves of judging where we're only going to have a certain amount of judges. Each judge will have their own table. We will be socially distanced, really spaced out, get some really great media coverage. So right now we have different elected officials in the Buffalo area, as well as presidents of some other Polish organizations and some respected members of our community as well. So they're going to have the opportunity to try all of these donuts.
Donuts diet, I like it.
Judge on the best possible, or the donut that they enjoyed the most. Then I'll end up tallying up all of those votes. And in the end, we will have named a winner of Western New York's best punchki, and it will be fantastic. And on the other side, we will also have some available for purchase, just to kind of fundraise towards some different initiatives that we have going on right now. So some members of our board and organization, as well as members of the community, will be invited to come purchase some 4 packs, hopefully multiple packs of these lovely donuts. And they will actually also have the opportunity to send in which donut they thought was the best for our People's Choice Award as well.
People's Choice Award. That sounds so good for ponchek. Oh, the best Polish ponchek. I cannot wait to find out what feelings were inside of this ponchek. That is the best one. And because also this will say that I think the most popular are with povidła, we call this, like little plum fillings. I just love them a lot. But right now, like I say, so many of different fillings inside of the ponchki. So this is a very, very cool event. Celebrate Polish donuts. And this is what Polish people love. So for sure, we'll bring community together. For sure, we'll raise a lot of money, hopefully. This is the first year that this event is produced. So probably this will be annual event. I cannot see this go away.
Right. We hope that this year is just a very scaled down version, and then in years following that we're actually able to bring in members of our community, invite them to really interact with these different bakeries, kind of support those local businesses too that have those authentic Polish roots. I'm excited for the future, but you can't cancel community. We're working really hard to not only stay relevant, but stay serving our community. We were still able to do our parade this past year, even with the COVID restrictions. It was different, but different doesn't have to mean bad.
Yes.
We're working really, really hard to keep that community feel, because truly, you can't cancel community. You can't cancel culture, you can't cancel family.
And sometimes we learned that because of Zoom or before, because of all of us missing the company of another human being so much, that really we put more time to know somebody that we maybe knew a little bit. Now we knew them much more because we have a chance to talk, like with you, Zoe Kaminski. This is so a really pleasant moment for me to meet the gorgeous, smart, young, beautiful Polish-American that will for sure makes us think, if we have Polish roots, how to belong more to our community, wherever we are, whatever country we are, and just spreading the pride of being a Polish person in whatever part of the world we are. But for right now, Zoe, if somebody wants to contact you or contact association at the General Pusecki Association, what is the best way to contact you?
Either message us on Facebook, it's the General Pulaski Association of WNY, or through email at generalpulaskiparade@gmail.com.
Zoe, nice to meet you so much. So thank you for this very tasty interview. And I hope people really enjoyed it. And we cannot wait to find out who won. And obviously when I will find out from you, please send me the picture and I will post on Facebook so people can dream about Polish donuts. Okay. Thank you so much and talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.